And Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
I'm not in a mood for drama tonight, Jason.
Why are you always trying to stir stuff up, Jason?
Is on Rutledge and Hamilton.
I don't know if I will go as far as you will.
With Jim Rutledge and Matt Hamilton.
All right, boys.
All right.
Be good.
Presented by Coors Light.
Excited to be joined by our friend Jason Wilde. Jason, hello. Welcome back from vacation.
Yeah, it wasn't much of a vacation. It was more of a get stuff done Asian. But what an honor to be able to appear once again on Madison's best sports comedy show, at least based on my voting. I can't speak for anyone else's voting. But that's a lie. I didn't vote for you guys either. I wrote in Wilde and Tausch. I don't even think they allow write-in votes, but I did it anyway. But I'm pulling for you guys. I hope you win.
You
have my support, even if you don't have my vote.
Well, I appreciate that, Jason. First of all, hello. It's great to hear your voice again.
Hi. What a treat. I thought you'd be in Paris already.
It is awfully tempting. I don't know if you know this. If you are a United States Olympian, you get tickets automatically to any Olympics for the rest of your life.
Oh.
Like, obviously not flights.
All expenses paid travel?
No. That's not. But if you can get to Paris, like, and find accommodations to stay and stuff, the tickets to get into the venues and into the things, that's included.
Wow.
The Team USA house, you were a part of Team USA, you're in. So that's pretty neat.
That's very neat.
Yeah. I'm looking very forward to the LA Olympics. No, I haven't done it yet. But I'm looking forward to taking that opportunity someday.
Wow. So and there's no limit, right? Like, you could go to Paris.
Not that I'm aware of. I could go to every Olympics for the rest of my life, summer and winter, every 2 years, and I can get free tickets into the game. Maybe just for me, maybe one, and I'd have to buy, like, my wife's.
Are Olympic tickets expensive?
Well, it can be. If you try to get to figure skating in the winter, it is a crazy one. And I imagine for summer, like, men's basketball.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Right? Would probably be a tough ticket to get.
Curling, on the other hand, very inexpensive.
Yeah, and that's what's up. They may or may not be giving them away. Jason, real quick, because we do want to dive a little into the Packers, is there anything that jumps out to you about the draft? Anything that tickles your fancy?
Yeah, the fact that after I said on the radio that Kyle Filipowski is a cheap knockoff of Christian Laettner, I'm just very, very thankful that the Bucks didn't draft him.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
I did not want
one pick away.
Have that conversation.
If he held on in the second there, they might have taken him there in the third or in the second round with their 33 pick.
I will. I have some friends who do work for the Bucks. I'm now very curious. I'm going to reach out to them just to ask, hey, if he's there at 33, do you take him? Just because I stand by what I said, by the way. I mean, this is the guy who acted like he had been shot by a sniper when that fan rushed the court, and then he played the very next game. Like, he's just, I don't know if there's a better word than douchey to describe him, but that's the word I would use. And I don't, it takes a lot to get me to root against people, but he turned the trick. Like, during the NCAA tournament, I was definitely found myself rooting against him and Duke just on the principle that he's a weenie. So I'm glad that he's not a Buck.
Hey, I do appreciate that. I am a little curious now with, you know, Jordan Love being drafted during that Rodgers era right after the NFC Championship loss, maybe a piece or two away from making it to a Super Bowl. That draft has now made me immediately think, how's our superstar feel? So I'm going to ask you, because it's our poll question, how do you think Giannis feels about drafting two developmental players with our draft picks?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and I love that you're thinking in Packers terms now with other sports, although that's kind of what Tausch and I do, so knock it off. but it's a really, really good question, Matt, and Here's the difference, though, I think, about the NBA versus the NFL. And obviously quarterbacks are the field tilters in the NFL. There's no denying that, just like Giannis is for the Bucks. And both leagues are, to varying degrees, star-driven leagues. But I think NFL success, you can win with a bunch of really good players, even if you don't have a great one. Like, let's say Jordan Love isn't quite as good as he made us think he is. Still is good. Don't get me wrong. Still is very good. But not like winning the MVP next year good. Not like Hall of Famer good. Any of that stuff, right?
Right.
They could still win the Super Bowl, right? Like, the I hate the
rag. When was the last time someone who was good won a Super Bowl?
That's fair, right?
And Joe Flacco?
Patrick Mahomes has won a few lately.
No, but just good, not elite. You know what I mean? Like, your argument, you're saying you can win with someone who's just good. When was the last time someone who's just good won a Super Bowl?
Well, I'll have to go in the archives, because obviously Brady won one.
I did this bit a while back. I'm pretty sure I went back like 25 years. Rodgers' career, not quite, 18 years. And there was like two quarterbacks that you could say maybe aren't in that elite category, but the rest seemed like they were elite. So I appreciate what you're saying, but I kind of disagree. I think you need a superstar elite quarterback to win, because that's kind of the track record.
Certainly makes it easier. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. But I think in the NBA, you have zero chance unless you have a superstar. And the reason why the Bucks won a title, the reason why they are contenders, is because a skinny kid from Greece turned out to be one of the greatest players ever, and they drafted him, 15th overall?
Yeah.
And he was, you know, he far exceeded anyone's expectations except maybe his own and his family's. And so, you know, that's what you have to do, right? Like, Nikola Jokic has to become the player he became for Denver to have the success it has had. And so, you know, when I look at where, you know, Giannis is at in terms of this draft, I'm not sure that there's many guys picking where they were picking at 23 and 33 that they could have picked and said, okay, this guy's going to come in and help us right away. Like,
right.
I think that their mentality, and again, the Bucks are not my area of expertise, but I think their mentality is, you know, we need to clear some cap space. We need to make one last run with this group, and then we need to tear it down, not to the studs, but if Dame is who we think he is, as opposed to who he was last year when he wasn't, you know, working out the way he normally would have because he didn't want to risk injury knowing he was going to be traded, if they don't change coaches, you know, they have three coaches in a calendar year. If that doesn't happen, they believe they still have the chance to be a title contender. And if it doesn't work out this year, then, you know, whether it's Dame staying with Giannis and building around them differently or whatever, I just don't think there was anyone at 23 and 33 that you could have confidently said, oh, he's going to come in and he's going to be a differentiator on the wing for this team that obviously needs to get younger. So I would be surprised if Giannis was ticked off right now.
Talking with Jason Wilde of Wilde & Tausch, you can hear him 9 to noon across ESPN Wisconsin. Jason, what do you think about all this media attention that Jordan Love is getting? Not asking for, I don't think. But, I mean, you have Tannenbaum saying that he's the only player on the planet that he would take other than Patrick Mahomes. Like, that is crazy. There's so much media attention that is just circulating around Jordan Love. What do you make of this? Because I feel like I am cautiously optimistic, but I am getting nervous that it's going to put a lot of more pressure on him, more pressure than he already has. And that makes me nervous just to see how that affects his performance.
And please take this in an older brotherly fashion from me. I am so proud of you. And not just because I actually had the exact same thought yesterday when I saw that Tannenbaum quote. And we talked about it a little bit this morning. But as everyone knows, when I do a show with Tausch, we have a little bit of trouble staying on topic with his stream of consciousness. But that is exactly what I was thinking was, God, this the praise every day It's somebody else telling us how great Jordan Love is.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I don't dispute that he's really good. I don't. But it is a lot. And it feels like, you know, that the national narrative is this guy's the guy to talk about right now. This is the guy that's going to get clicks. This is the guy that's going to interest our viewers the most. Which, so they just keep playing the hits and keep talking about him. And they just ratchet up the praise. You know, I think Tannenbaum went from saying that other than Patrick Mahomes, Jordan Love is the other player that he would start a franchise with when he was on with Tausch and me. And now he's the only player on the planet that he would consider. So I guess the next step is in the galaxy or in the solar system or whatever it might be, that's where he's picking his players from. It's almost as if they have to increase the level of praise every time they talk about him. And I agree with you. Now, here's the reason why I'm not worried about him, because he's going to believe his press clippings, as the old saying goes, right? That he's going to become too big for his britches, going to think he's arrived, he's not going to work as hard. That is not my concern. My concern is what you said, is that the pressure of extremely high expectations, of all this public attention and praise, you know, players will tell you they do have a mentality of us media guys. I'd like to think I'm the exception, but I'm sure there's some that think of me this way too, that they think these guys build you up so they can knock you down. And I don't know if Jordan thinks that way, but with the pressure of those expectations to fulfill them, and then the pressure of a big contract, which he is going to get here sooner or later, you know, I'd be more worried with Jordan Love being so conscientious and caring so much about how well he does, that it would become the burden of, I don't want to let these people down. I don't want to let our fans down. I don't want to let the organization down that just paid me $57 million per year. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's any drawback, I don't think it's complacency. I think it's his conscientiousness.
Jason, one more thing that happened while you were out on your staycation was the announcement of Ed Policy becoming the new president of the Green Bay Packers. We were asking fans, what would be their Ed Policy? So some examples of this.
Well, that's clever.
Shout out to Jim Rutledge, if I'm being honest. I can't take credit for that one.
Oh, then it's not as clever. Never mind.
People like me.
But some of the ideas that we were brainstorming were, you know, giving shareholders 20% off, giving shareholders like early access to different gear, or being able to bring peanuts and water in like you can to AmFam Field. What would be your Ed Policy?
I feel like you're... all right, now, are you sure you guys aren't stealing my material?
What's your material?
I sent this exact idea to Tausch while I was out, and he apparently ignored it. but I have forever been saying that they need to do more for shareholders who ponied up the $250 plus shipping. And then an even more of a scam, they also paid to like have it framed or whatever it would be.
yeah. Are you just attacking Matt Hamilton right now? Because yeah. I feel like that's what's happening.
Okay, go on. Tell me more.
Yeah, dummy. I can't attack him. I bought a share too for my father in 1997.
That's the one I got as well.
Well, see, there you go.
I got the most recent one.
And you were like six.
My parents got it for me. But.
See, I got the most recent one, so I don't know what's worse, is the fact that I have no idea where mine is and we paid like $300 for it, or the fact that like you have yours framed.
Frame.
That's pretty bad. It's in a box somewhere. I don't know. Sorry, what would be your policy?
Well, my point is that I don't think... I hate the fact... Because then they use the money, right? They use the money to say, well, we don't ask for any public funding to renovate the stadium or whatever else, which is...
Isn't that
that is public funding?
Yeah,
yes,
100%.
Exactly. The public paid you for a piece of paper, and it means a lot to people like Matt Hamilton.
It does mean
downtown.
A lot to me.
Anyway, my point is that I don't think you get there is no return on the investment. Right, you're given the money because you love your team, and that's fine. I am not criticizing either of you. What I am saying is the team should do more for you than just say, hey, thanks for the check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so whether it's 25% off on Shareholders Day at the Packers Pro Shop, you know, like a Kohl's coupon, but no restrictions, no elimination. So if you want to get your Matt Hamilton number four jersey, because you're a fourth place finisher most recently, that's fine. Okay? And you should get a deal. There should be exclusive gear. They send you, every winter, they should send you a knit hat. Hey, thank you for supporting our team. Keep your head warm because you lose 80% of your body heat through your head. Make sure you proudly wear your shareholders knit cap from Nike or New Era as a thank you for you being a shareholder. That's my biggest pet peeve about this organization. And I've said it a million times, and I will say it Ed Policy's face. And I have a really good relationship with Ed Policy. I really like him. I think he likes me, certainly more than Mark Murphy does. He goes the other way when I'm walking toward him. But if he were to ask you, Jason, what do you think I need to do? What should be my Ed Policy, like you just asked me? Make it more than just the narrative that the fans own the organization. You don't do a draft party anymore. You don't do Fan Fest. You keep jacking up the prices of tickets and of beer. You don't do anything to say, hey, you know what? We're different than all these other teams that are owned by billionaires. We do these things in return for our fans. They love the narrative, but they don't live the narrative. And that has always been my criticism. And if Ed Policy does a few, I just think a little kindness goes a long way. People want to feel appreciated. They want to feel like, hey, I'm paying for these tickets. It would be nice if the team knew that this is so important to me. And instead, they just, you know, take your credit card number, and that's the end of it. And I just don't think that this organization does a good enough job of it. So that would be my Jason Wilde policy for Ed Policy.
Jason Wilde should be the vice president of the Green Bay Packers, yeah, is what I think.
Yeah, Jason, so I was telling this story because that my policy was, instead of like 20% off, I was like, there should be like shareholder exclusive gear.
Oh, I've brought that up too. Because amen, brother.
I was at a Golden Knights game, and some guy sitting in front of me had a gold satin, like, old starter jacket with the Golden Knights logo on the back. And I was like, hey, where'd you get that? And he's like, well, I got it from the pro shop, but this was for all the season ticket holders who bought the tickets like before the team officially moved, like year one, they had like exclusive gear for those owners. And I was telling Molly, how cool would like a vintage yellow crew neck sweatshirt with owner in green lettering, like stitched onto the front. And it was just yellow and green.
Right, like
it just said owner.
Era.
Yes. Like, yeah. Yes. Vintage kind of look. I think that would be so cool. And even if it was like, here's a hat, a shirt, and a sweatshirt that is made available, and if you don't like any of them, you don't have to get any of them. But, like, just, like you said, throw us a bone. Throw us a bone. We don't need much. Give me something to gnaw on.
And don't forget, and I have a buddy who just got season tickets. He came off the waiting list. And this had been mentioned on our show by another caller, and I had no idea. As many people that listen to our show know, my grandparents became season ticket holders in Milwaukee in the 1940s at State Fair Park. And so I didn't realize this, but if you come off the waiting list now, the first thing you get is a bill for the rights to, I mean, after you get the letter that says, congratulations, you're off the waiting list, you have gotten the opportunity to get tickets, here's what you owe if you're buying them. So it's not just for, if I understand this correctly, and Wooly can fact check me, but I think you get a bill for, like, the right to become a ticket holder on top of the cost of the actual tickets.
Jeez.
So just so like, hey, welcome the bill to for the your club. Yeah, it's almost like a membership.
Right. And so, again, if there's a membership, there should be perks. So
yeah.
I appreciate you guys getting me off on a rant here.
Oh, I love Willie Rance. Way to go.
My 15-month-old son will be anxiously awaiting his bill for his season tickets in about 40 years to come. So I love when I get the letter in the mail each year that says, you are 225,000 on the list or whatever it is. But I signed him up. So one day he'll get him. Hopefully he's a Packer fan. We'll see. But Jason, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you taking the time, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Awesome. That was Jason Wilde from Wilde and Tausch. You can hear him alongside Mark Tauscher, 9 until noon across ESPN Wisconsin.